everyone. This is Lorna Johnson, and you're listening to Making Palmy Home on Manawatu People's Radio. And my guest today is a lovely lady called Doris. Morning, Doris. How are you?
Good, thank you, Lorna.
So thanks for coming, for taking time out of your day to come and do the interview. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you're doing in Palmerston North.
Kia ora, everyone. My name is, I'll give you the full name I have, which is Folusho Doris Adeyinka. I'm from Nigeria, the western part of Nigeria, and my name stems from the first name. You will be named with the language you speak. So the meaning of my first name, Folusho, means using God to guide you. And then Doris was my dad just liked that name, Doris. But normally, if you were a Christian or a Muslim, you have a middle name.
Yeah.
So we always come here with two names.
Yeah.
And then you would have a first name, a middle name, and a last name. So when I came to Mercy and I saw that people had just one name. It was very strange to me.
Right.
So, but Doris is what I was popularly called too, because we've got so many languages in Nigeria, where I come from. So people will call you the easiest one. So I just said I prefer Doris, but my supervisor was like, I like your first name. And he tried for a while, but sometimes he misses it, and we all settled back for Doris. So I came in here to New Zealand straight from Nigeria because I was a lecturer back home and I needed to get my PhD. PhD,
yeah.
At Mercy Veterinary Faculty. Came to do my PhD, and I came with four kids. My husband was still back home at that time.
Oh, my goodness. So how old were the children?
The children were, at that time, my first was 12 years old. Came and turned 12 in New Zealand. And the second one was 10. The third one was 8. And the last one was just turning 5.
Well, you're a courageous lady. So you came from Nigeria to New Zealand with four kids on your own.
Yes.
To do your PhD at Mercy.
To do my PhD.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had a supervisor that just believed in me because I don't know how he accepted me, but we coped through it. I would drop my kids at his house. He would drop his, and we became friends.
Yeah.
And that supported me quite well.
Wow.
To be able to settle here in New Zealand. Yeah.
So how did you choose New Zealand as a place to come and do your postgraduate study?
It's a very interesting question that everybody asks me because we're on that side of the world, we only know Australia.
Right.
So when I chose to come to New Zealand, I've met one of my professors, Professor Tim Parkinson. We have a book, his book in our library back home.
Oh, really?
And I applied, and he was the first one to reply to me and said, which country do you come from? Do you want to come to New Zealand? Just give us all your name. And before I knew it, I was accepted. And I was worried. I didn't want to leave my kids back home for a four-year program.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
New Zealand just opened up to internationals, and you pay domestic fees, and your kids will go to school here. So we thought that was a brilliant opportunity.
Right.
And I even paid my way first time. We couldn't get a scholarship immediately, but I thought that was a very big scholarship, paying domestic fees at that time.
Right.
And to allow your kids to go to school up to secondary school level, that was so good.
So it was... you saw it as a good opportunity for the children to learn in a different country and to go to school in a different place and have a different experience, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. And my boy is always, whenever we're seeing people farewelling our friends, because I've been in a university environment. A lot of people travel out for study.
Yeah.
He will be crying and said, "Mom, you need to apply for somewhere for us to go to."
And is this when you were back in Nigeria?
Yes, that was.
So he was keen to travel himself.
He was very keen to travel, and that's why he offered to take care of his younger siblings and said, "I'll look after them, Mom. I'll support you," even though he was 12 years old.
Goodness.
So I thought that's a very brilliant opportunity. Yeah. Let's go. So
how did the children settle in? Because normally children settle quite quickly, and maybe parents take a wee bit longer. How was it for you and the family when you arrived?
Oh well, my kids. The first one was his name is Sam. Mm. He was really keen to come, and he was looking at how he's going to settle really well. But my girls, they did miss their friends.
But they
went into school, my last baby was excited to go to school because it was in like kindy back home. And we normally start school by 6 years old.
So it was
very exciting for him. He wanted to come to school so badly. So at first, it was very interesting because we came 2 weeks before they all went back to school. And my supervisor took us to some places like parks and travel around just before they went to school. So they found it exciting until they went to their different schools. So they thought it was exciting. But I think when they got to school, it was very difficult.
Was a bit of a reality check, was it?
Yes, it was a reality check. They started missing their friends, especially my older girl. She was very quiet, and she was getting into year six, just 1 year in the primary school before going to intermediate.
Right.
So she couldn't make enough friends before she went to
having that
intermediate.
Yes. And was language an issue, or were they already being educated in English?
Oh, they were being educated because in Nigeria, we have been colonized by the British, and in 1960, we got our independence. So school was always English. You had to...
Right.
Teach your kids English. Like the youngest one couldn't speak my language or anything, only English. So it made the school, College Street Normal School, to take 3 of my kids. They interviewed them and they saw that they could speak English, so they went into their age group class.
Right.
So there was nothing like being in a ESOL class or anything.
Yeah,
so
it was straight into their mainstream. Wow, that's an amazing experience for children, though, isn't it, to travel across the world? So
was
the idea then when you came that you were just going to come for the 4-year PhD?
Yes.
Was that the plan?
That was the plan.
So what changed?
That was the plan. But when we came, and my kids, when they settled down, they really loved what they were doing. My boys joined soccer, which was well organized compared to back home. And that's a soccer country.
So yes, they knew, it is, isn't it?
They look towards weekends to go for soccer. And the girls, too, as soon as they have friends. So we were living. Mercy was very good. They gave me, they helped me to get an accommodation where we had other internationals arriving for study, the scholarship students, they arrived there, which is the city council building in Rakaya Place.
That
made it quite multicultural. I could leave the kids behind for friends, and they would look after them. They play with each other. So that helped us to settle very well.
Right.
Then when they see their friends going home after their study, they would look at them. My big boy would be like, "I'm not going back, Mom." And the others would cry, but they still wanted to stay in New Zealand.
Right.
I think it became a very good experience for them. And for me too, I had my job back home, but I saw that what I was getting as an experience and making new friends just made it home. And the first place we went to was a church while we were in the hotel. And they welcomed us so much. They gathered things that they had from the furniture bank. They gave us furniture and everything. And
goodness,
that was
fantastic.
A very big support for us. So we didn't have to buy so much as well. So we had our Kiwi parents. They came to us. They bought us things for winter because that was a big challenge for us. They bought us winter clothes and things like that. So that made us feel very much at home.
That's lovely to hear. And people were obviously quite thoughtful because I know myself, you know, people who come to a country where there are seasons from a country where this never there's no seasons, never really been a winter. There's quite a lot to learn about how to keep yourself and your house warm, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, if you're brought up in that kind of climate, you don't even think about it twice.
Yeah.
So it's lovely to think that people were thoughtful and they knew, you know, Doris and the family will need winter stuff.
Yes.
And,
Well, and it was later I saw how expensive it was, but my Kiwi parents, they bought for us because I go to the farm with my supervisor and it's so cold out and the paddocks where I have to run after some of my cows and things like that. It's so cold, but they got me like a long johns and a top, so I wasn't too much layered just to run after the animals when I'm there. So it was very interesting. It was later I saw, you don't have to dress so big and puffed up when you have those layers on. And that's what we are doing now.
That's right.
We've helped other people to do the same thing for them.
Yeah. That's great. I'm imagining you in the field running after the cows. What was your PhD on, Doris?
Yeah, I looked at the New Zealand dairy cows and looking at their reproductive placenta to see scanned and see how New Zealand dairy cows would prevent abortion in New Zealand dairy cows if they were prone to that, and just see how that works. With their reproductive organ, and did some scanning, did some genomic sequencing and things like that. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds very complicated.
Yes.
And so you were intending to go back, and what was your job at home before you left for your study? Were you working in the university?
Yes. I lecture animal science and vet students back home. And when we came, I thought once I finish my PhD, I can go back and things like that. Yes. So
how did you decide to stay? Was it your children's pressure, or was it you yourself? Or how did you make that decision? Well, we're not going back now.
I think it was all of us. It was a decision from us all. The kids, they've got the best time. They were curious about study, and they got all the facilities. I mean, which we do have some at home, but the population is quite more.
Yeah.
So they could go into whatever career they wanted to go. One of them was so much into the library when she came in at College Street School. So she would sit in the library, read as much books as possible. My youngest one will also go to the library. I think they know him so well in the library. He could get 13 books. And he just said one day we were in the taxi and said, "Mom, I'm from New Zealand. I'm not going back." And the taxi driver was like,
"That's great."
So laughing. And the taxi driver looked back and said, "You're not going on. You need to stay here." So
that's
it was
fantastic.
A joint decision. Yeah. I had a good experience. I had Kiwi friends. I had Pakistani friends. Mm. I have friends from different cultures all over the world, because Mansi was such a great cultural place. They invited in so many people.
And they were used to welcoming people, I suppose.
And welcoming people. If I go to the flea market, I'll see people smiling at me. We will chat and talk, even about my dress, about my hair, and things like that. So we thought, this is home. Why do we need to go back?
That's true. Yes. Awesome. Well, that's a good place. We'll just stop for a few minutes and have a musical interlude, and we'll come back in a moment.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Great. So we're back on Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and I'm talking to my guest today, Doris, who is originally from Nigeria, came to Massey to do a PhD with her four kids, loved it so much that she's made Palmy Home. So, Doris, let's whiz into the present day now. What's life like for you now in Palmerston North? Does it feel like home?
Oh, Palmy has always felt like home.
Yeah.
Since we came, because I just saw that I was missing parents and friends back home. But it's just like moving to a different place and adding more to your family.
Yeah.
And that's the way I saw it. One thing that came to mind was that Kiwis are a friendly lot. And I saw that card, I sent it to my family back home so that they can feel so much at home. Even now in Palmy, I don't think I can walk halfway in the street without being called Doris,
yeah,
Doris.
Yeah.
So it's even more like home, having to be here for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
We're loving it, and everything stems back to Palmerston North.
Yes. That's great. And you said in the break that your husband was able to join you.
Yes.
So you're all reunited together now here in Palmy.
Yes, we are reunited, because when we were coming, he was working to support us as well.
Yeah.
So he would come for holidays, but he finally moved back in 2016, okay, retired from home, and everyone is a Kiwi at the moment.
That's great. So I know that you have been doing a lot of work to support international students, and particularly students from Nigeria coming for postgraduate study.
Yes.
In the city. So I feel like you're the auntie to all of the Nigerian students in Palmerston North. Yes. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it was great when when one Nigerian was coming up in. Sometimes even from Uganda, from different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Once the international office at Mercy sees people with kids and they are by themselves,
yeah,
they will call me and say, Doris, can we give them your contact?
Right.
And I will say, yes, please, let me tell you my story and how we were being supported as international students. And the first time, Jamie just told me at the international office, we've got Nigerians eligible for scholarships in at Mercy. Would you like to welcome them? And the first set of Nigerians, I was so happy. And I went in, collected their keys, and went to pick them at the airport, made local foods. Because when we came, we were the only Nigerian family.
Wow.
In Palmy at that time.
Yep.
We've just had one that left. And they were in other places, but we were the only Nigerian family. So made do with some food that we normally eat here that looks like home.
Yep.
Made it for them and welcomed them in as students. Made sure I took them to the supermarket. This is what you will need. That's what you will need. Sometimes I would even buy some coats from the secondhand shops before they come in and give it to them.
So right.
It was so good that they could have somebody to look after them. But I was looked after by the Kiwis, and I just thought, I can take this on.
So you were sort of paying it forward in a way, the kindness that you received when you arrived,
now
paying so forward
I now
to the new students.
Took it back to the new students, and that sort of helped them. For those that miss home, they would come in, and I would always have a party or something that we can eat and drink for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that took us to being able to now celebrate our Independence Day, which is the day we got our independence from the British rule.
Yeah.
So we got the first one, and we decided to invite the mayor, the councillors, and
I was very kindly invited. I remember it was fantastic and a big community.
Yeah.
And I just saw how well loved you are, Doris, in the community. auntie. Doris is like everybody's mum. Yes. And the students, I think they must really appreciate that welcome that you're able to give them.
Yes.
That they're a long way from home, but they see someone from home,
yeah,
who helps them, who understands maybe some of the challenges.
Yes.
And just helps them get settled in.
Yeah. And they contributed to our lives too as they were coming in, you know. There were some of the younger families had babies, so I was able to go to the hospital and said, I'm their support person, take food for them when they have babies. Sometimes I even tried to give a bath to the kids, so I had to ask my mom back home, how do you give a bath to first child? Like they're like my grandkids, and sometimes I look after them, which is really good.
So you enjoy all of this, yes, as well?
Yes, I do.
And this is all on top of your paid work now?
Yes, I do. And sometimes if I have so much leave, I could take a day or two out to help any struggling family. Maybe they've just had a baby. I'll give the husband a rest and say, look, let me look after you all.
Aww.
And give them that time. Yeah.
Oh, that's a lovely thing that
because
you're able to do.
Back
honestly.
Home, you will always have people surround you, but for them to be lonely, we just thought it's
no
a good
way. No family support here.
No family support.
So you're like the adoptive family around them,
aren't
you?
Yes, so very good.
I think that's lovely. And I'm sure it contributes to helping people feel comfortable.
Yes.
And the quicker you can get settled, I think that the more positive your experience
is. The more positive, yeah.
And I'm sure Massey appreciates it as well, having your phone number.
I know. When Sylvia was there and all of them, they called, a lady came without her husband and they said, oh, Doris, we gave them your name. Is that okay? And she called me from Nigeria. She's just returned back, but she said she had a lovely time because we were able to support each other and welcome them into the community.
So how big is the Nigerian community in Palmerston North at the moment, would you say?
I think even with the kids put together, because now I can hear some families that I've not even identified.
Right.
So I would say with the kids, because they've been having kids, we would be up to 16
or even
more.
Yeah.
If I lose count. Yes.
That's nice. So it's sort of like a little bit of home in Palmy, isn't
it? Yes,
yes.
We never knew we could have a community. And every time I tell them, you made my life so rich that we could come in and come to a very good place, especially in Palmy, because in other parts of New Zealand, we've got a lot of big Nigerian community, but the Palmy one, every time new people come in, I try to reach out to them and say, look, we're here. If you need any support, and they will come home.
That's lovely to hear, though, as well.
Yes.
You know? I think you probably deserve some kind of special recognition for all you've done.
Thank you, Luna.
So now, tell us just a bit about what your work is like today. You're busy lecturing still, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I work at UCOL, teach the vet students and the pre-nursing students. And it's been wonderful to see students from other culture too. It's been able to help me to settle down students from other cultures, from different countries, and just knowing that we came from a different culture, we adapted here, and I tried to settle them down. Some are so young, they miss home when they move to Palmy, and I'll just tell them, look, I've got kids your own age. They will be missing me where they are too, because my kids have gone out to study too, Wellington and different parts. So they see me as a mom, and then they have to listen to me in class too.
Oh, that's lovely. I can imagine that, you know, that kind of nurturing sort of just obviously comes naturally to you.
Yes,
so, you know,
I love it.
You're in an ideal role looking after your students.
Yes, I love it.
That's great. Oh, well, look, time's almost at an end, but thank you so much for coming in and talking to me. And it has been really interesting to hear about you, especially your early experiences. And it's heartening to hear that you were well looked after on arrival.
So I had amazing Kiwis, honestly.
Yeah.
I cannot fault it. And that's what actually moved us to feel we can settle here quite comfortably. Yeah.
I'm glad you did, and I'm sure all of the other students that you've helped since are very grateful.
Thank you.
So much, Doris. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
So, people, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and you can catch the podcast on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.